Temura, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Hey, 3-5, the last of the Perek, and we're wrapping up the halachas of the Temuros and the Vlados, the substitutes and the offspring of Korbanos. Here are the last of two Zvachan that we're going to deal with, which is the Bechor and the Meiser. Let's just remind ourselves what these are. The Bechor, the firstborn cow, goat, or sheep of a given mother. If it's a male, then it's called a Bechor, firstborn male, and it must be given to a Kohen. The Kohen will bring it as a Korban, and then eat it. If the animal has a mom when it's born or gets a mom later on, a blemish, permanent blemish, so then it can be eaten as is, no need to redeem it. In fact, there's no redeeming it allowed, as we'll see. But until it's eaten, one may not, since it has this sanctity still in it, it can't be worked, you can't shear it if it's a sheep, can't milk it and the like. You have to just slaughter it and eat it. We'll see more in the Mishnah. The Meiser is the tithed animal, meaning every year, you take all of your cows or all of your goats and sheep in the flock, you put them in a corral. The 10th one out is marked as a tithe. And if you have 20 animals, the 10th and 20th come out. And those, again, are brought to Yerushalayim and brought as a korban and eaten by the owner, the farmer. If the animal that comes out is a baal mum, it's blemished and can't be brought, so then it can be eaten right then and there. But similarly, it retains its sanctity until you eat it. Therefore, you cannot shear it or work it either, and more on that, what you can't do in the Mishnah. Now, just keep in mind here, we're going to talk about the Vlados, the offspring. A Bechor is a male, so therefore it won't have any offspring itself, but we're also going to talk about the Temur, the substitute. And of course, if you substitute a Bechor or a Meiser, you could substitute with a female or a blemished female, for that matter, and that, of course, could have offspring. So says the Mishnah for starters, Temuras a Bechor v'ha Meiser, when you come to the substitute for a Bechor or a Meiser, Uvladan, or the offspring of a Bechor, a Meiser, or the offspring of its Temura, Uvlad Vladan, Adsofa Olam, even subsequent generations, you have these carbon copy animals that have the same sanctity as the parent, whether they were substituted as a Temura or their offspring, even a grandchild, great-grandchild of the parent or of the Temura for that matter. Hre Elu Kebechor V'chamaser. They have the same halacha as their parent, meaning that they are sanctified in the same way. And what do you do? V'achlo b'muman labalim. They'll be eaten by their owner when they get a blemish. Both the original Bechor Meiser as well as the offspring or the Temuros, all of those are eaten when they get a blemish. Now, what this Mishnah actually is coming to say, which is not what it says explicitly at all, is that the Temuros and the Vlados are not brought as korbanos. Meaning, if you have a Ola or a Shlamin, like we said, and then you do a Temura, that's a bad thing. But now you have two animals, the original and the carbon copy, if you will, the substitute, and both the original animal as well as the Temura both become korbanos and are offered, assuming they're unblemished. That's not the case when it comes to a Bechor or a Meiser. For these two animals, you will bring the Bechor or Meiser as a korban and eat it, but the other, the carbon copies, whether they are the Temura or the Vlad or multi-generations of offspring, are never brought as korbanos. They're just eaten once they get their blemish, just like their parents would be eaten once it has its blemish. And that's the main part of the Mishnah. Okay, so that then is the first set of important differences between a Bechor and a Meiser and, let's say, other korbanos like an Ola or Shlamim, which is the carbon copies, the substitutes, and the offspring that have sanctity like their parents, they are not brought as korbanos. But the Mishnah says there are other categories of differences. So it says the Mishnah explicitly, Ma bein ha-Bechor v'ha-Meiser levin kol ha-Kadshim. What other differences are there between the Bechor and the Meiser and other kinds of sacrificial animals? Okay, so now, before I say this inside, let me just explain outside. When an animal gets a blemish, and let's say it's a consecrated as an Ola or a Shlamim, or a Chatas for that matter, or an Asham, so what you'll do is you'll essentially sell it, take the money that you get from selling it, and then buy a new carbon and bring it. Okay, so what happens is you have Bessie. Bessie was supposed to be brought as a Shlamim. Now Bessie gets a blemish. She can't be brought anymore. What do? You go to the meat market. You want to go specifically to the meat market, and there you'll get the highest price because that's where the most demand is for meat. And you'll sell Bessie over there. You'll slaughter Bessie over there. And then the person who buys it will, butcher it and sell Bessie over there. Now, selling animals in a meat market or slaughtering them in the meat market or selling their meat like in a conventional way is all considered to be disrespectful to someone who just used to have, it's now decommissioned as a korban, but it was a korban to be, and it still has some vestige of kedusha there. And therefore, that's considered sort of disrespectful and therefore inappropriate. It's just that, on balance, Chazal say, listen, on the one hand, it's disrespectful to sell an animal in the meat market that was once going to go to Hashem as a korban. On the other hand, it's in the meat market where you'll get the highest price, and that will allow for you to get the money to purchase the best possible korban replacement, which is what you want to get now. And therefore, the rabbis are lenient and said, since the beneficiary of this, I'll call it disrespect that you're paying to the animal that's been decommissioned as a korban, is you're going to get the most money possible to get the best korban to bring to Hashem, it's worth it. Okay? In contrast, when you have a blemished bechor or a miser, so then it's never going on the mizbeach, and if you now sell it in the marketplace, so who's the beneficiary of that sale? The answer is the owners, or the Kohen, who's the owner, in the case of the Bechor. And are we going to let you sort of disgrace this animal which has intrinsic kedusha that was a Bechor or a Meiser, so you can make more money? The answer is no, we're not. Okay? So the basic difference I'm going to say is that the way in which you sort of monetize and sell and dispose of Meiser and Bechor is different than other korbanos, like if they have a blemish, because we don't want to disgrace these animals, and there's no good reason to do so. Now, let me just speak one other thing out here, which is important. We're going to have three things in the Mishnah. We're going to have selling the meat market, and that's the place you get the highest price. So you were going to say you can sell blemished other korban, a shlamim ola, etc., and then decommission it, and then just eat it. It'll still have restrictions of giz and avoda, of shearing it and working it, but you can eat it, and you'll get the highest price to buy the best korban. We're going to say you can't slaughter it in the meat market, again, disgraceful. And we're going to say you can't weigh it against, like on a pan balance, you know, you're weighing on a scale, and you put on one side the meat, on the other side you put like an item of known weight. We'll call that the weighing device, the litra. So we're going to say you can't do that either when it comes to you can't do that either when it comes to the Meiser and the Bechor. Now, we're going to say, yes, you could do that, however, for the Ola and the Shlamim. Now, the question is, actually, think about it for a second, why that would be the case. Let's say, you know, you've got, you know, Reuven has a korban, it's a Shlamim, it gets a Mum, he wants to decommission it and deconsecrate it, do Pidyon, get the money and buy a new Shlamim. He goes to the meat market and he does that. And who buys his decommissioned now korban? It is, you know, Yonkel. Yonkel now has this cow. It had been a shlamim, it's now been decommissioned. He's allowed to eat it and slaughter it. We're even letting him do that in the marketplace. The question is, we're also going to let him weigh it on a scale now, in that sort of conventional weighing way. The question is, why would we do that? And really, now who's going to benefit if he weighs out in a higher and he gets the best price because he gets to weigh it out, as opposed to if he couldn't weigh it, the person who's buying would say, well, let's round down so I don't get an exact number here. I'm not going to pay full dollar, but I don't know exactly what I'm getting. So give me a deal and I'll buy you, you know, without weighing it. We don't say that. We allow Yonkel to weigh it on a scale. This now decommissioned, you know, meat that came from a decommissioned Olar Shlomo and the like. The reason why is because if Yonkel couldn't do that, he then wouldn't pay top dollar in the first place to buy the cow when it was alive. Okay, so that's why Chazal leaned there. In contrast, we're not going to allow you to do that with a Bechor or Meiser because the only person who's benefiting is you, the Bialim. I should speak out further before I say the mission side here. In fact, it's not only prohibited midrabanan to sell a Meiser or Bechor in the marketplace in a disgraceful way. When it comes to the Meiser, actually, it's an Isser Doraisa to sell it in a public way in the marketplace. It has to be done sort of at all. Excuse me. You can't sell it at all. Actually, it's a correction. When it comes to the Meiser, you can't sell it at all. What's the case for a mission? We're talking about selling it. The answer is, once it's dead, it's only an Isser Durabanan to sell a Meiser. And the Gemara ends up saying, in a case where, for example, we're talking about Yesomim orphans that now have this Meiser and it's now dead and they want to get the, you know, whatever money they can, so then we will allow them to sell their decommissioned Meiser in the marketplace. So they should lose as least money as possible. The Chazal weren't strict on such a scenario for orphans. Okay, fine. Anyways, taking a step back here, the Mishnah says, Ma ben ha-bechor v'ha-meiser, levin kol ha-kadshim. What's the second category of differences that apply to bechor and meiser that don't apply to other kinds of korbanos? The answer is commercial activity. Shekol ha-kadshim nimkarim be'itlis. Other blemished zvachim can be sold in the meat market. v'nishchata bidlas, they can be slaughtered in the meat market. V'nishkalim bidlitra, they can be weighed in a conventional way using like a normal weighing, you know, weight on the other side of the pan balance. Chutz min b'chor min ha-maiser, except for b'chor ma'aser, those you cannot sell in the marketplace. You could, in the case of b'chor, you could sell it like, you know, privately from your home. Also, v'yeshlan pidyon, you, there's such a thing as fully redeeming a blemished korban once it has this blemish. You can redeem it, and then the animal sort of decommissioned, like I said. It can be eaten, and the money can go for elsewhere. Ulatumurosehen pidyon, also you can redeem its tamura, the substitutes of your whatever it is, of your ola, your shlam, etc. Chutzman and Bechor min ha-maiser, but not the case when it comes to the Bechor ha-maiser. We said they have the same status as the parents, but you don't actually ever redeem them. If your Bechor ha-maiser has a tamura, or your Bechor ha-maiser has a mum, you never sell it or redeem it onto money. Nothing like that ever happens. You simply eat it once it gets this blemish. That's true both for the original animal that's Bechor ha-maiser, as well as its tamura, its substitute. Ooh, fine, that's that. Now, there's a third category of differences with respect to Maiser and Bechor that doesn't apply to other animals that are, you know, others vachim, which is uvan mechutz la'aretz chutz min bechor min maiser, other korbanos. If you say harezu ashmi or harezu ola, harezu shlamim, you consecrate an animal and you're living in Pennsylvania, so then now you have to put the animal on the boat from Pennsylvania and bring it to Yerushalayim to slaughter over there because you consecrate it. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. Exceptions are the Bechor and Maiser, which according to the Tana says you don't need to bring it to Yerushalayim. It's actually Machlokas Rishonim what this Tana means. If it means you shouldn't, or you don't need Lechachila, or you don't need to, but you can be Di'evid. If you did bring an unblemished Bechor Maiser from Chutz La'aretz, meaning was where it was born, was outside of Eretz Yisrael, then Yikruvu, then says the Tana, indeed, then at that point you would offer it as a korban, says the Tana. However, the halacha doesn't follow this shita. The halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, who's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva holds that there's a hekesh that connects the Maiser animal to the Maiser of agricultural produce, and just says all the halachas of trumas and maisers, etc., don't apply to agricultural produce that grew outside of Eretz Yisrael. So too, the tithing of the animal doesn't, like, bring it to the base of Mikdash, doesn't apply to animals born outside of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there's no mitzvah at all to bring a bechor or maiser to Eretz Yisrael to bring as a korban. And if you would bring it, they won't accept it. They'd turn you away at the door, the kohanim would. So there is a din of bechor and maiser, meaning that the maiser you should wait till it gets a blemish and eat it. Bechor you should give to a kohen, he'll eat it with a blemish in Chutz La'aretz, but don't bring it. And if you do bring it, it won't be part of even b'dieved, according to Rabbi Akiva, and that's halacha according to the Rambam. Bim bale mumin, if your or when your bechor or your maaser gets his blemish there in Pennsylvania, so then ye achlu b'mumin levalim. At that point, they'll be eaten by their owner or the kohanim out there, wherever they are in Pennsylvania. Am Rabbi Shimon Mahatam. Why do we differentiate, says Rabbi Shimon, between animals born Chutz La'aretz that are other korbanos, animals born Chutz La'aretz that are Bechor and Maiser? She Bechor va Maiser yesh lem parnasa bimkoman. The word parnasa here, and really everywhere, means has what they need. So the point is, Bechor and Maiser have what they need where they are, meaning even in good old Chutz La'aretz in Pennsylvania. What does that mean? That means, what do you have to do? Just wait for the animal to get its blemish, that, you know, that maish that you have, and then just eat it there in Pennsylvania. End of discussion. No need that you'd ever have to be dragged into Yerushalayim. Ushar kol ha-kadshim, but that's not the case when it comes to other kadshim. Af al pisha nolad behen mum. Even if, let's say, you had an ola and you consecrated it in Pennsylvania, and now you it gets a blemish. Even then, you're going to have to redeem it, get the money, and purchase a new animal and go to Yerushalayim. So, Mamarashach, if you consecrate animals in Chutz La'aretz, you must end up going to Yerushalayim to deliver either that animal, or if it becomes blemished, its replacement, you know, in Yerushalayim. So you're going to Yerushalayim. So therefore, you don't have what you need over there in Pennsylvania. You got to go to Yerushalayim. So therefore, Harei Elu Bikdushasan. These things remain sanctified, meaning they, until you redeem them, they're consecrated, and they must be brought to Yerushalayim and brought as a korban. Yeah, that's the difference. That says Rabbi Shimon, that the answer, therefore, the difference is Ma'aser and Bechor have the parnasa, what they need, and Chutzlaret no need to bring it, and therefore he gives a reason why they're exempt from being brought there. It's Israel altogether. Now, this Rabbi Shimon is a little strange. Usually we don't give like kind of these abstract reasons for why the Torah says what it does. And in fact, it's even more strange by the fact that it's actually, this is learned now from Josh, forget Rabbi Shimon, it's based on a psukim, okay? The pasuk in Devarim, a pasuk talking about Korbanos and Chutz La'aretz, Avtonos by Chazal, says, this is Devarim Yud Beis, pasuk Chavav, Rak Kadshecha Asher Yulacha Undarecha. Just be careful that the holy Kadshecha, the holy things that you have, and the Derecha, your voluntary things, Tisa Uva'asa El Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. You'll bring them up and you'll take them to the place Hashem will choose, meaning Yerushalayim. So now, since that pasuk is talking about Kad Shem and Chutz La'aretz, and we're talking about two separate things, Kad Shecha, your unholy things, U'Nidarecha, your voluntary things. So we darshan that the Nidarecha, your voluntary things, means if you make a neder or a nedava, you volunteer to bring Olah or Shlamim and Chutz La'aretz, you got to bring it. And in Kad Shecha are other kinds of Kad Shem that you have to bring that are consecrated, like, for example, a Chadas or an Asham. So those things have to be brought there to Israel, and that would leave other things like Bechor and Meiser out. They don't have to be brought. That's the drasha. So once you have that drasha, the question is, so why in the world do we need the Rabbi Shimon sort of explanation about this Parnasa issue? When, like, we have a Pasuk. What did Rabbi Shimon to do? The answer is Rabbi Shimon's coming to explain why the drasha works the way it does. When the Pasuk says Nidarecha and Kadshecha, we understood Nidarecha, the Nidarim Nidavos, and Kadshecha, the Chatas and the Asham stuff. But why does that have to be the case? Why can't we learn the other way around? That Kadshecha, things which are sanctified, whether you like it or not, meaning Bechor and Meiser, those have to be brought. And the Derecha, things that are voluntary, as opposed to Achatas and Asham, which aren't brought. So you could think the other way around. You could think the Pasuk is going to tell you, bring your Kadshecha, meaning things that are consecrated by the fact their birth as a Bechor, or they come out of the Koran, like, whether they like it or not, they're consecrated, even their Balemum. Bring those, and the Derecha, your voluntary things, and not to bring your Achatas and Asham. So Rabbi Shimon is explaining why the drasha goes the way it goes, which is that would make sense. What makes sense is to say that the Kadshecha is referring to Chatzos and Asham because these other consecrated things, the Bechor and the Meiser, have no need to ever go to Yerushalayim because they can become Balei Mumin and be taken care of entirely without any further obligation in Chutz La'aretz.